Now I want you to open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles. I want you to open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 3, and you can just put it up there and hold it up there, Corey. We're talking from the theme, faith works. Say faith works. Now, faith is how you're going to live a successful life. On an individual, on a personal level, is faith. That's how you are going to live a successful life. But faith is also how we're going to build a successful church. See, we're going to need a lot of things as a church. We're going to need people. We're going to need resources. We're going to need facilities. We're going to need land. We're going to need equipment. And it's going to take a group of people working together and their faith working together to pull off what God has in his mind for this area. So faith is how we're going to do it. Now, understanding how faith works is like putting a puzzle together. And most of us have worked a puzzle at some time. That's how faith is. It's like putting a puzzle together. Now, the first piece of the puzzle is the object of our faith. And we were here in January. We taught two lessons. We were here in February. We taught two lessons. So we've taught four lessons. And the four lessons that we taught was on the object of our faith, the direction of our faith, the focus of our faith. And we learned, and don't worry about it, somewhere down the road, we're going to go back over this. We learned from Jesus that we're to have faith in God. Okay, now we're going to begin tonight another piece of the puzzle, another piece of the faith puzzle. And we're going to be talking about the law of faith. We're going to be talking about the law of faith. So the next two or three weeks, and see, we're going to be coming every Wednesday now. We're going to be talking about the law of faith. Say, the law of faith. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 27, you can turn and you can also look at the monitor. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, no. But by the law of faith. Say, the law of faith.
The law of faith.
Come on, say, the law of faith.
The law of faith.
So for the next two or three weeks, we're going to be talking about what?
The law of faith.
What are we going to be talking about?
The law of faith.
We're going to be talking about the law of faith. Now, when you hear the word law, I don't want you to think Mosaic law. Okay, don't think Mosaic law. Don't think Ten Commandments law. Here's the definition that I have of a law. A law is an absolute rule, of conduct, action, or procedure established and enforced by an authority. You got that? You got that? You got that? Okay, I'll go back over it. I'm just joking. I'll go back over it. A law is an absolute rule. Now, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the Mosaic Law. It's an absolute rule of conduct, action, or procedure established and enforced by an authority. Now, that's the definition. So when we're talking about a law now, we're talking about a rule of conduct, how the believer should conduct him or herself. We're talking about an action, what action, a thing, pathway, a thing should follow. We're talking about a procedure. How are things accomplished? What's the procedure in the kingdom of God? Sometimes we're praying, but we don't understand the procedure. For example, we're going to look at tonight the law of gravity. It's a rule. It's a way things happen in our universe. So we're talking about how things happen, how things work, how things are achieved in the kingdom. Because as believers, you're in the kingdom. You have needs, spirit, mental, emotional, physical, social, financial, and then the church has needs. But how do we achieve this? I mean, how do we go about it? Do we just beg God and whenever he feel like doing it, he just does it? No. There's a procedure. There's a pathway that we're to follow. There's a way we should conduct ourselves. So we're talking about a law. Now, I want to teach you a couple of things. I want to talk to you first about the nature of the law of faith. See, you're going to understand this faith thing, and you're going to use it like a tool. You're going to use it like a pen or like a pencil. You're going to understand it. So what is the nature of the law of faith? Well, number one, the law of faith is an equal opportunity law. What is it? What is it? It's an equal opportunity law. Said that. What is it? It's an equal opportunity. The law of faith is an equal opportunity law. Now listen at this. In terms of civil rights in our society, in our country, equal opportunity laws were created to prohibit discrimination against someone based on race or color or religion or national origin, age, sex, or disabilities, etc. These laws, equal opportunity laws, were designed to promote, listen, equal opportunity and a fair chance. Come on, say a fair chance.
Fair chance.
A fair chance. So the equal opportunity laws in our country was created for everybody, every citizen, so that every citizen will have a fair chance. Come on, say a fair chance.
A fair chance.
A fair chance to achieve and be successful. That's why those equal opportunity laws were established in our country, so that every person, every citizen, black, white, red, yellow, brown, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, every citizen should have a fair chance. A fair chance to achieve, a fair chance to be successful. Now, the law of faith is an equal opportunity law. Ooh, I was so happy when I found that out. It's in what kind of law? Now, let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 13 and 16. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 and 16. Now listen, some of you taking notes, so write this down. God established the law of faith so that every Christian would have a fair chance to win in life. Oh, that's good. God established the law of faith so every Christian,
Every Christian
will have a fair chance. God wanted every Christian to have a fair chance. Say fair chance.
Fair chance.
The world is not fair. But God established the law of faith so that every Christian. Say that includes me. Any Christians here? Let me see if you're
That's
a Christian.
Right.
God wanted you to have a fair chance to win in life. Let's prove that from the scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, listen to what it says. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world. That's what God wanted Abraham to rule the world. He said that promise came not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now look at verse 16. Therefore, oh, watch this now. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Wow. Now look at that. Just keep it up there. Now look at that. The scripture says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. For what purpose, Lord? What purpose? To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So the Bible says that God established the kingdom of God on a faith system. He established the kingdom of God on a faith and grace system. Faith and grace. Come on, say faith and grace.
Faith and grace.
Now, grace is what God did for us in Jesus Christ. It's what God did for us apart from our worthiness, apart from our effort. Jesus came to the cross and he died and he purchased things for us. He purchased righteousness. He purchased forgiveness. He purchased healing. He purchased deliverance. He purchased prosperity. He purchased success. Jesus, the Father, did that by grace. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. So grace is what the Father did for us. Faith is our response to what the Father did. So grace is God's part. Faith is our part. God has already done everything. And when we get over into the perspective of faith, you're going to be shouting all over the place. In fact, I'm going to have to pick you up. I'm going to have to do all kinds of things. You're going to be shouting all over the place. Because you're going to find out it's already finished.
Yes, yes.
God has done everything he's going to do for us. But faith is our response to what God has already done. Now watch this, watch this. Why did you put it on a faith system? Why did God put the kingdom of God and how we should conduct ourselves, our conduct, our action, our procedure? Why did you put it on a faith system? Why didn't you put it on a work system? Why didn't you put it on an education system? Why didn't you put it on a skin color system? Why didn't you put it on how much money you got in the pocket system? Now, God didn't put it on any of that. God put it on a faith system so the promise might be sure to all the seed.
Wow.
Thank you, God. So he wanted all of us, everybody in Christ, to have a fair chance. So he put it on a grace and a faith system. And we are learning our part because God has already done that grace part. But we're learning our part, and our part is the faith part. Now turn to Galatians 3, verse 29. Oh, you're going to be so happy. You're going to be so happy. You're going to say, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Because I'm getting happy right now. I get real happy when I find out what God has done for us.
Amen.
I get thrilled when I find out what God has done for us. Now notice what it says. We're talking about the law of faith. Come on, say the law of faith. It is an equal opportunity law. It's an equal opportunity law. Okay? Now look what it says. If you be Christ.
Come on.
If you be what?
Christ.
Then are you Abraham's?
Seed.
And heirs according to the?
Promise.
If you be Christ. So what's the qualifier? What's the qualifier? What's the qualifier to experience the grace? Be in Christ. How many are in Christ? How many are born again? You're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. So God has established faith so all of you that are in Christ can have a fair chance to win.
That's right.
Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. The bad news is once you learn how faith operates, you can no longer make excuses. You can no longer make excuses because God established it on faith so that every believer could have a fair chance to win in life. So if we're ignorant, then God's want to get us information. But if we have information, it's on us. Does that make sense to you? How many understand where we're going with that? Okay, now, I want you to write this second thing. We're talking about the nature of the law of faith. We're talking about the law of faith. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the law of faith. Number one, we've learned that it's an equal opportunity law. Now, listen at this. The law of faith is a universal principle. Say that.
The law of faith is a universal principle.
It's a what?
A universal principle.
It's a what? Now, what does universal principle mean? It means that it works 100% of the time that it worked, that you work it. It worked how many percent of the time?
100%.
It means it works the same way every time. Faith works the same way every time, and then it works for everyone, regardless of circumstances or personal situations. Okay, it's universal principle. Say universal principle. Okay, I like to do object lessons. Okay, so the object lesson, all my object lessons are going to be always easy. So remember, I'm never going to embarrass you. So you don't have to worry about me embarrassing you. So I need some volunteers. Okay, now I'm gonna help you out, okay? I need a teenager volunteer. Any teenagers? Okay, come on up here. How old are you? 17, okay, teenager. How old are you? Okay, teenager, okay. Got a teenager. Is there a single person? Okay, come on, single person. Got one right there. Any married person? Okay, married person, come on. Any college student? Any white person? Hey, she just dropped the Bible. She just dropped the Bible. He's talking about me, okay? Who are you?
College.
Any black person? Okay. Okay. I think we can do it with this. Okay. I think we can do it with this. But the law of faith is a universal principle. It works 100% of the time that you work it. It works the same way every time, and it works for everybody. Okay? It's like the law of gravity. Got a teenager? Teenager, will you hold the ball out? Drop it. Wow, that was deep.
Right.
Teenager held the ball out and it dropped. Mm-hmm. Who are you?
Single person.
Single person, hold the ball out. It dropped. Same way it did for the teenager. Who are you?
Married
person. Hold it out. Drop it. Wow, the same thing for a married person that it did for, isn't that amazing? Isn't that white person. White person. Wow, it worked for white people too. Okay, who are you?
College student.
Hey, watch this. You full-time?
Yes, sir.
That means you ain't making a whole lot of money, right? Okay, now so she ain't making a whole lot of money. She in college. Let's see what gravity worked for her. Wow, it worked for the college student. Who are you?
I'm a black person.
You're a black person. Wow. So it worked for the black person. So gravity is a universal principle. It works every time you work it. Okay? It'll work for me. I can be a disabled person, I can be a senior citizen, I can be rich or poor, educated, uneducated. It'll work for me if I work it. Now here's a question. Why isn't it not working for me? It worked for all those people. Why is it not working for me? Because I'm not working it. But it would work for me. I have the same opportunity that they have. I sit in the same church that they sit in. I'm listening to the same message, but it's not working for me.
Amen.
And you know why it's not working? Because I don't drop the ball. I don't work the principle. It is a universal principle.
Wow.
And that's why it's so wonderful. It'll work for a child. That's why a little child can get born again. Because it'll work for anyone. So God put faith, put established on a faith principle so that the promise could be sure to everybody. God wanted everybody Amen. That's in Christ, all of his children, to have a fair chance to win.
That's right.
Everybody can win.
Amen.
Everybody can win. Wow. Not just certain people, not just the educated or the rich or whoever, but the rich can win, the educated can win, but the poor can win.
Amen.
The homeless can win.
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
That's why he established this law. So everybody will have a fair chance. So here's a college student, may not be working full time, but she can use her faith to get things that maybe her parents can't pay for, and she can believe God, and God will honor her even though she does not have a full-time job.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Thank you. That one heart, was it? Give our participants a hand. Okay. Okay, now that's, so we've learned something about faith. Now, wow, we're going to move real fast now because I got another illustration. Now, listen at this. The law of faith trumps, T-R-U-M-P-S, natural laws and human limitations. It what?
Trumps natural laws and human limitations.
Okay, now all my other people stand up. Will you stand up and help me? Anybody ever heard of spades? The card game spades?
Yeah.
Who haven't heard of it? Because I'm going to have to explain the rules to you. Okay, anybody? How many of you heard of spades? So when you hear the thing trumps, you understand that concept? Okay, cards. Okay, cards. Okay. Heart suits. Just hold it out where everybody can see it. Clubs. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Diamonds. Rana, this is the man that should be doing that. Okay.
Spades.
Spades.
Yes, love it.
Okay, now. Some people may be listening to the MP3, and I want to explain it. Okay, now listen at this. In certain card games, there are four suits: spades, diamonds, clubs, and hearts. If a suit is designated as trumps, the trump suit is powerful. It's the high-ranking suit. So either one of these could be designated trump. But for our discussion, spades is trumps. Now watch this. Any card in the trump suit has special powers over all the other suits. No matter what they play, and the ace is the highest card, and no matter what they play, the trump has special power over all those different suits. Now listen, if a player plays an ace of diamonds, player ace, he excited about it. Or an ace of clubs, he excited about it. Or an ace of hearts, he's excited about it because that's the highest card in that suit. This guy over there, he's laughing because he knows that he can take his two. And this too has superior powers over every suit. Wow. Wouldn't you like to have trump cards?
Mm-hmm.
How many like to have the trump card?
Yeah.
Why? Because the trump card has superior powers. And no matter what the trump card face, it can overcome any of a suit. You got the illustration? You may be seated. Listen at this statement. God has designated the law of faith the trump card. You've been given the trump card. Most Christians don't even know it, but you have a card that's superior to anything you will ever face in your life. Now, the ace in life, of clubs in life, the ace of diamonds, ace heart in life, gonna seem very overwhelming sometime. But you have a trump card. And your trump card, the law of faith, has superior powers over natural laws and human limitations. So quickly, because we only got a few minutes, let's talk a little bit and begin, because we're going to pick up next week, about natural laws. So Corey, put up, now you can't turn unless you got your cell phone, because we're going to use the amplifier. Let's look at an illustration. Watch this. Just watch the monitor. It says, the sons of the prophet said to Elijah, look now, the place where we live before you is too small for us. Let us go to Jordan and each man get their house beam. Let us make a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go. One at once said, be pleased to go with your servants. He answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. So let's stop right there. So the Elijah was a prophet. He had a school of the prophets. And so he was training these prophets, but the facility that they were working at was too small. So they said, we got to build a bigger facility. So they said, well, let's go down to the Jordan, and let's cut down some trees, and let's build a bigger facility. So they were down there cutting trees. Look at the next. But as one was felling a beam, in other words, he was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into what? Fell into the water, and he cried, alas, my master, it was what?
Fire.
It was what?
Fire.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question after these two illustrations. So he had borrowed an axe head, and while he cut down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. Now, watch this next verse. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And when shown the place, Elijah cut off a stick, threw it in there, and the iron floated.
Wow.
What? That sounds like that Star Wars stuff right there. And the axe head floated back to the top. Now watch this. And he said, pick it up, and he put out his hand, and he took it. So let's talk for a minute, and then we're going to look at another story, and we're going to be finished. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, okay? Now listen at this. Say natural laws.
Natural laws.
So this axe head fell into this water. The natural laws of surface tension, displacement, gravity, and flotation of objects are in place. So what's going to happen to that axe head? It's going to sink, right? Now watch this. The law of faith will trump, supersede natural laws, right? Can something made of iron naturally float in the water?
No.
Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. Can an iron naturally sink into the water, then rise to the surface and float to the top and toward the shore? So, there were some natural laws that pulled it to the surface. But there was another law that trumped that law, superior to that law, superseded that law, and caused that axe head to go against nature. I'm going somewhere with this. I am going somewhere with this.
Amen.
So Elijah had a trump card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's look at another illustration, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to see whether you're the smart class or not. Because if you're not the smart class, I'm going to keep you in here. You're going to have to stay over. to in the morning. I'm not going to let you go. You're going to have to study it out till in the morning. Let's look at the next story. Now the wife of the son of the prophets cried to Elijah, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor, say the creditor, has come to take my two sons to be slaves. Okay, next verse. Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have of value in the house? She said, your handmaid has nothing in the house except the jar of oil. Next verse. Then he said, go around and borrow what? Vessels from who? All your neighbors. What kind of vessels? Empty vessels. And how many?
Not a few.
Not a few. Watch this. And when you come into the house, shut the door upon you and your sons, then pour out the oil you have into all the vessels. That's a strange. Why is that a strange instruction? He only had one jar of oil. And so the instructions, take that one jar of oil and pour it into all the vessels that you borrow. So we got pots all over. We got pots all over the house. Bedroom, kitchen, everywhere. Pots, just pots everywhere. And he said, take that one jar of oil and pour it out in all the vessels. Now what's next? So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought to her the vessels as she poured the oil. Watch this. When the vessels were all full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there's not one left. Then the oil stopped. Next. Then she came and told the man of God, he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt and your sons, and live on the rest. So the law of faith trumps, supersedes, has superior powers over natural laws. So when you look at this story, this lady right here had no money, no job, no education, no human connections. She was a widow husband that died. In those days, your husband was a breadwinner. Now watch this. All the things the world said you had to have to be successful, she didn't have. All she had was a word from God. She didn't have all the things the world said you had to have, but she had a
word from God. That's good.
And her word from faith in her word from God superseded her natural circumstances. Because the law of space says, and even quantity says, that if you only have a jar of oil, it can go only so far. Right? So something had to supersede that law. Does that make sense to you? Now listen at this. Question. The two illustrations that we looked at, what were the commonalities? This is test time. If you can't pass the test, we keep you in class. What were the commonalities out of these two stories? What was common? Pardon me?
The hatchet couldn't float on its own, so it was the natural. And with the oil, she only had one thing that you couldn't fill all the.
So, miracle was common. Both illustrations was a miracle. Anything else was common?
Both people had an issue they had to overcome.
Both people, I'm going to say individuals. So, we see that God was concerned about individuals. It wasn't church. It was individuals. A woman had an individual need. A guy had borrowed an axe. He had an individual problem. He got to return that, an individual problem. What am I saying? I'm saying that church shouldn't be just about the church.
Right.
God is concerned about your individual needs. And as the church grows and the church increases, your life should be increasing. Your life should be better. It should be mutually beneficial. Is there anything else coming? You're doing good so far. Don't turn into the slow class. What's coming? They what? They were both obedient. Okay. Okay, anything else? Y'all exhausted. Y'all have exhausted y'all answers. They both had a financial situation. And they both had a debt problem. So we see that God can even help us when we're in debt. That God can miraculously get us out of debt. Wow.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I know nobody here is in debt, but I'm talking about the other folk who come to the church. I know none of you, everything is paid off, your house and mortgage and all that. I know I'm not talking. No. If you take a survey in most local churches, the biggest problem that people have are financial. And yet we see this law of faith supersedes and can even help a person who's in financial thing. Now, here's the question. Here's the statement. I'll close with this. If what we've discovered tonight is true, then the law of faith can also trump and govern the laws that govern the human body. So if medical science says, I have to die, I have to have this, I have to have that, there's another law that can supersede and trump that. That law will supersede the laws of finances. Does that make sense to you? It will supersede legal matters, relationships. If we can get a handle on this law and really understand it, then this law will trump, supersede any natural laws, watch this, and human limitations. So now we're going to be here every Wednesday. So next week we're going to develop this natural laws, overcoming the natural laws, and that's what gives you, believer, an advantage over folk in the world. Folk in the world have to submit to natural laws, but kingdom people, Christians, you have an advantage. Amen. Amen.